Yeah, you can bring up on the screen this morning. We're looking at a message called a Call to Prayer and Fasting. And we'll just go through the pictures. For those of you that haven't been part of a week of prayer here, we call this week Humble, as you see behind me. And maybe could just give you a, they say a picture's worth 1,000 words, and you can just see what goes on here at the church during this week that's coming up. It starts next Sunday morning. Here's all the leaders praying. And then it'll go to the following Saturday night. And that Saturday night will mark, not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday will mark 30 years of continuous Saturday night prayer meetings. 30 years. And then it'll also, this year will mark 16 years of prayer and fasting. This one, the morning prayer time, and there's the last year, day 7, the Saturday night, 29 years, and this year will mark 30 years. And for some of you, this is all brand new. Maybe you're hearing it and you're thinking, a week of prayer and fasting, what in the world is this all about? And maybe especially if it's your first time here today, you're hearing about it. And then many of you have been part of it for, you know, many, many years. And, you know, I was thinking about our church and the history of our church. You know, Susie and I came 30 years ago and we started a Saturday night prayer meeting. We didn't know that there would be this blessing on this church for 30 years of Saturday night prayer meetings. And, you know, and then came the stirring through the Saturday night prayer meetings that we were to have a week of fasting and prayer. And, you know, we had no idea that that's what God wanted to do. And that would be in, here we are in year 16 of fasting and prayer. And now churches all around our city are fasting and praying. All up and down our state are fasting and praying. Everywhere now God has me go. I was in Colorado calling all the pastors to fasting and prayer. God has opened up a door for Susie and I. Normally, we rest after our week of fasting and prayer, but we've been invited to go to the New Zealand Pastors Conference for all the Calvaries in New Zealand, and I get to present to them a vision of fasting and praying. And so God just keeps stirring, and we really have got to discover what God wants to do. And I go back to the beginning of our prayer meetings. We would just pray for young people. No one told us to pray for young people. We're a church of 12 people, and we just prayed for young people. God, we want to see you moving young people. Every week, we'd have a Saturday night prayer. There'd be 4 or 6 or 8 people come. One time, an atheist came because she thought, well, I'll learn if prayer's real if I go to the prayer meeting. Well, she's part of our church here 30 years later and serves here. She found out that God is real. And, you know, just, we would pray for young people, and that's how Real Life started. And about 6 or 8 weeks, Real Life grew to about 150 kids, and then it just kept growing to, at one point, 500 students. And for 30 years right now, I think it's in a new season of revival. There's like 300 students gathering weekly. And I think, you know, this week of prayer and fasting, really, it's a prayer retreat at the church. And if you've never been part of that, you want to be part of it. It's a prayer retreat. You're going to be different after this week. This church is going to be different for you after this week of prayer and fasting. It'll be your church in a new way. And, you know, now the great open door has opened for Real Life at the OSU campus in the Toyota room there at the stadium. And I'm hoping that all 1,000 of us will go over to the Toyota room on Tuesday night. As you look at your card, that's going to be a different time than all the other weeks, all the other nights of the week. So pay attention to that, and let's all go. Let's just the whole church go over with the 300 college students, and that night we'll be praying in the Toyota room. Chad's going, we'll all go up the elevators together. We'll just fill that room. I think 1,000 can fit right there, Chad, don't you think? He's nodding his head. Good. We're going to do it. So let's talk about prayer and fasting. And for again, for some of us, this is all brand new, so that's good. For some of us, this is all review, and that's good too. Because I thought about this message. Many in our church have heard this message, but I think being a week out, it is a time to contemplate. What does it look like for me this year? And let's just talk about who when we're talking about prayer and fasting. Who do we see fasting in the Bible? We see Moses fasting for 40 days. We see David fasting. We can bring up. And by the way, this year, I want to put this half sheet in your hand. And you'll be able to, there we go. They caught up to me finally. We see David fasting. This year, I'm going to give you this to take with you as a resource to go over everything you're going to hear today as part of you discerning what's my week to look like. And by the way, I know there are some of you that you can't be part of it. Whenever I find myself giving a real strong call like this, I think of my own mother and father-in-law who were such an important part of their church. But my mother-in-law, Esther, she worked every morning at 3:30. She had to get up at LAX. And my father-in-law, Tibor, he was gone every day of the week, long days, long nights, getting ready for the next day. And he's just was an on-fire engineer in his day and age, making such an impact. And I know they couldn't be part of something like this. And maybe you're someone, your schedule just doesn't allow you to be part of it. But I really want to call to you that your schedule does allow you to be part of it. And about 3/4 of the church will be here. So I'm really calling to the quarter of the church that you're kind of going, I don't know. I haven't even thought about it. So I'm really hoping this will engage you. Look at David. Sometimes we don't realize how many figures in the Bible fasted and prayed. Moses and David. And what do we call our week? There's a reason we call it humble. I humbled myself with fasting. And Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, we'll read. And here we read of what we're doing this week. It's a corporate fast. So you can fast. It's powerful in your life. And hopefully you'll learn to fast. That I'm not going to eat breakfast this morning. I'm going to fast because I'm in a crisis. I'm in a battle. You can skip a day and fast. Any day of your life, you could choose to unsheath this powerful weapon that we're going to talk about today. But then there's the power of a corporate fast. The people of God discerning, no, this is something God has for us corporately. And that's what we find happening here. Three nations were coming against Israel. Three nations greater and mightier than Israel. And I imagine our fast would look a little different if North Korea, China, and Russia was threatening to annihilate us on February 1st. Right? I think we should fast and pray a little differently. I'm motivated. Well, they were motivated. Three nations greater than Israel, all coming against them. Jehoshaphat the king feared. Right, even great people, great men of God. Jehoshaphat's a great man of God. He feared. And what do you do when you fear? He set himself to seek the Lord. That's what you need to do every time you're fearful. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And we'll keep it there for just a minute. Notice this godly leader called the people of God to fasting. That's what godly leaders do. They call the people of God to proclaim a fast, and that's what we're proclaiming. And verse 4, so Judah gathered together. And you know, this week will be one of the most powerful weeks of our year that we'll gather here. We'll gather in prayer to ask help from the Lord. They came from all the cities. We'll come from all of our cities and neighborhoods, and we'll come to seek the Lord. And I hope I can give you one of the great prayers of the Bible comes out of this time of prayer and fasting. As you go on from verses 4 there, you read of the prayer, and I'm just going to draw you to verse 12 where Jehoshaphat prays, "Oh, our God, will you not judge them?" Isn't that a powerful prayer? I want to give you that. No, not really. The next part is what's so powerful. "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Boy, I find this prayer in my heart so often. God, I don't have the power. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. This is going to be a week that we're not coming in our own power or might, but God's going to move by his power and his might as we put our eyes on him. And then Ezra, we read of Ezra, and it's just, again, it's amazing how frequently you read about fasting, another corporate fast. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river
of Ahava, that we might, here it is again. Why do we call this week humble? It's biblical, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. So this is a powerful concept that we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to go. Maybe you're someone that, I don't know what to do. I don't know the right way. Well, this can be a powerful week that you're saying, God, make your way for me, or you're married, for our family. Make it clear for us. And look what the two verses later says, verse 23. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. God is a God who responds when people fast and pray. Look at Nehemiah. Wow, Rob, there are a lot of mentions. Nehemiah 1:4. You know, often people will come to our church and say, I've never been taught on fasting, number one. Never been part of a church that's ever fasted. Why not? Maybe we should consider how frequently this weapon is unsheathed in the Bible. So it was when I heard these words, and Nehemiah was just completely grieved. I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. What do we do when we're just completely overwhelmed? We fast. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And we go a little further to Nehemiah 1. And we read again in Nehemiah, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth, and that is very uncomfortable clothing, and dust on their heads. Just kind of saying, God, we're going as low as we can go. The dust of the ground we're putting upon our head. And with sackcloth and with dust on their heads, then they stood, and this is a powerful thing to be impressed on us as we go into this week. They stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So fasting is a time of confessing. You know, last night we were, as a prayer meeting, there were about 30 years of prayer meetings on Saturday nights, about 40 or 50 people praying. And we were crying out, we were made aware there is sin going on in our church, horrible sin. The word that was spoken was murder and adultery and idolatry, horrible sin going on that needs to be broken, needs to be confessed. And it's hindering God from moving in your life. It's hindering God from moving in our church. And they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their father, and they stood in the place. And this is also powerful. They just gave great place for the word of God during this fast. Reading from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. For another 1/4, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And that's what we're going to do all week, just large portions of worshiping, morning, noon, evening, confessing our sins, just spending time in the Word as much as you can that this week that's coming up. And let's read another passage of Esther 4:16. Right? All the Jews, the day had been set that they were going to be annihilated. And Esther said to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews and fast for me. And this is an interesting thing that sometimes we overread. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. What? No food or water? Again, maybe if you and all of your people were all going to be annihilated, you might be going, yeah, I think I'm going to fast in a little different way. There's a little more on the line that they were in such desperate need for God to move. That's what fasting is happen. That's what happens when we're fasting. We're in desperate need for God to move. So don't eat for 3 days, night or day. We'll talk about that. No food or water for 3 days. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. And of course, she didn't perish. As a result of fasting, God moved in the most powerful way. I was with a family this week, and they grew up, they've been part of this church for maybe 15 plus years. And their child, their daughter, has just gone off the deep end and just plunged herself in the worst sin that you can plunge yourself into. And I was reminded last night at the prayer meeting that this family last year in our prayer meeting were just crying out to God for a change for this child. And we've been praying for years, and this year that child had a complete turn and came home and is home with the family and is restored. And the Lord was reminding me, all the leaders were crying out last year. This mom was at the end of herself, and God moved in power and turned things in his timing. And again, we read of not only Esther, but Daniel. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication with fasting. Wow, just story after story. And sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, and I love this. This is what we want to happen all week long, is understanding how great and how awesome God is. And then that whole chapter is repentance. And we'll skip ahead to 9:20, and we read more of Daniel, of the fast that was going on. I was speaking, all right, just a week that we're going to just speak to God and pray and confess sin. And like we saw in Nehemiah, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God. And we read a little further in Daniel. He talks about a little different type of fasting that we're going to reference in a little bit, known as a Daniel fast. This fast was not no food or water. It's a different way you can fast. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So we'll talk about these different types of fasting in a little bit. And a little later, as Daniel is fasting, we read Daniel 10:11. Gabriel came to Daniel, and I love this. Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved. And actually, this is the second time Gabriel came to him in response to fasting in 9 and then again in 10. And it's so interesting. The first thing the angel comes to tell him is, you are greatly beloved. You know, we kind of see this in John in the New Testament. John saw himself as he got to know Jesus, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. And that was true of all the disciples. That's true of you, but John just came to realize it. And it's kind of the same. Daniel's coming to realize, like, wow, when God speaks, he wants me to know how much I'm loved. I think as you become part of this week of fasting and prayer, God wants you to be aware of how loved you are and understand the words that I speak to you. And this is powerful. And I want you to see this. Look up at the screens. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to what? There it is again. To humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Right? From the first day, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words, but there was a spiritual battle going on. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. This is so insightful. From the first prayer, God heard, and things were set in motion, but a battle was going on. And a lot of times when we enter into a week of prayer, from the first prayer we start praying, God is answering, God is moving, but there's a battle going on, and we have to persist. The enemy is stubborn. And we see that finally Michael came, and the prince of Persia was defeated. And again, just asking the question, who do we see fasting in the Bible? Josiah proclaimed, one of our favorites in the Old Testament, he proclaimed a fast, a corporate fast. The king of Nineveh proclaimed a corporate fast in Jonah 3:7, but then I'll just put up on the board 3:8. He said, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. There's a place to pray, and there's a place in your situation to cry mightily to God. And of course, this type of prayer led to the greatest revival, one of the greatest revivals in the Bible, in the saving of Nineveh. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence in his hands. And the New Testament, you read of the prophetess Anna, this wonderful woman of God, this widow. She was sustained through fasting and prayer. We read of Jesus fasting in our gospel that we're in right now, Luke 4. Jesus fasted 40 days. And then following that is a verse that I've only come to see studying Luke with you, that in Luke 4:14 it says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And that's right after he fasted. Fasting led to this power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And this week as a church, as we press in together, we're praying that the Spirit of God. Now, it also is so interesting that we're finishing the book of Luke. We're in Luke 24. We made it to verse 35. We're just finishing up all the studies in the book of Luke this next month. But it's interesting, Luke finishes with Jesus telling the disciples, you can't be the witnesses I want you to be until the power of the Spirit is in your life. So you need to wait in Jerusalem till you're empowered. And that's interesting to me. That's where we're kind of finishing when we go into this week of prayer and fasting. That God needs to move in our lives by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. And we're going to be asking for that and desiring that all week long. And we read of, and we don't want to be these in the story, that the disciples failed to pray and fast. So God's writing his story today. And many believers, they just fail. There's no power in their life because they don't fast. There's battles that can't be won because you don't understand fasting. And Jesus said this to the disciples. They were in this spiritual battle. They tried to deliver this boy that was being tormented by the demonic, and they couldn't. And the Lord told them. However, they asked, Lord, why couldn't we? And he said, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. There's some battles. You might be in a battle that the only way it can be won is through fasting and praying. And Cornelius is a wonderful story in the book of Acts of the gospel first going to the Gentiles. And that all started with Cornelius praying and fasting. And Cornelius was given these incredible visions of a man named Peter that was coming to him. And that's kind of interesting, seeing those connections, because 16 years ago, we had our first week of, I think we called it Ablaze at that point. And we had some different names before we settled on Humble. And, you know, I was telling our church leadership we're going to have this week of prayer and fasting, and I was laying it out. I think the Lord wants us to pray in the morning and noon and night. And I remember some of the leaders around me were going, Rob, not everybody's where you are. I think you're asking for too much, maybe. Like, this is a lot. But you know what's amazing is the church responded. And it's incredible. That first year, there was so many visions. People were coming 6 a.m. And the 6 a.m. is just so exciting because the prayer chapel holds about 120 people maxed out. But that's the number at Pentecost in Acts 2. About 120 were praying in an upper room when the Holy Spirit was poured out. So that's kind of a fun number that every morning that chapel gets just packed. And the other thing that I don't know when it started or how it's been sustained other than the Lord, but every year the college students and the youth just fill the prayer chapel. I'll bring up a picture a little later showing you of all the college students. But that first year, so many people had visions. It actually freaked our church out. Like, we're a church of the Bible. Yeah, yes, we are. But so many people were seeing visions from the Lord, and God was speaking to them. It was almost more than we could handle. Because God was wanting to speak. You know, last night we were praying, and there was a vision, and it almost just felt like, wow, prayer and fasting is coming. The visions were, there were just people just were beginning to see, and there was a vision of gold being poured out on our church, and it was being poured out on the way that all the floor surfaces were becoming gold. All the gravel was being covered in gold, and you know, as it was spoken for me, it just made me think of, wow, that's heaven, the streets of gold. And I was just asking the Lord, what does it mean? He was saying, heaven's going to come down. Heaven is going to come down as this church prays. God's will done in heaven is, and his kingdom is going to come. And the Lord was just speaking to me, you know, that gold is valuable to us. And the Lord was just saying, this week of prayer, it's my people communing with me that's so valuable to me. And another woman had a vision more or less of the church being a hospital. And when she prayed, I couldn't even hear the rest of her vision because I saw this picture of, it was like a war zone, and four at a time we're bringing in gurneys and just bringing the hurt and the wounded and the maimed to the prayer circles. It was just such a picture of what happens during this week of prayer and fasting. And we move on, not only Cornelius, but we read of Paul with the leaders in Antioch. One of the core verses in the New Testament, we'll bring it up. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work. There's so much here, right? This leadership was fasting and the Holy Spirit was speaking. That's what happens when we fast. The Holy Spirit speaks, and people were being set apart, and people were being called to the work that God has for them. That's what's going to happen this week. The Holy Spirit is going to set apart people and call. At this point in our church, 16 years in, just about everything flows out of prayer and fasting in this church. I mean, you'll hear story after story after story of missionary or pastor or leading or miracle. And they're like, yeah, it was the week of prayer and fasting that God set this in motion. And we see that in the book of Acts. And Paul and Barnabas, the early church, whenever they appointed leaders, they fasted before they appointed the new elders over the churches. And then we'll ask another question, who do we see fasting, but who is this fast for? It's for your church. And that would be a question to ask yourself, is this your church? This is going to be a corporate fast, and the posture is, everything can stop, anything can stop, and anything in this church could start, right? We're not like stuck in our ways. Lord, you can change anything, you can stop anything, you can start anything. And that's the question, this corporate fast, is this your church? And if this is your church, I want to ask you to be part of this year's prayer and fasting, if you're able to. And even more than ask you, I want to call you to this corporate fast and this week of praying. Another question of who are we fasting for? Zechariah is such a powerful passage we bring up every year. Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted, did you really fast for me? Right, that has to be underneath of the whole week. Like, Lord, this is for you. I want you. I want the power of the Spirit in my life. I want the work you have for me. I want you to call me. This is for you. And let's go from who questions to what. What is fasting? Fasting literally means no food. Again, this is review for many, and for others, it's brand new. Fasting is saying no to food and yes to God. Fasting could be defined as denying the physical to seek the spiritual. And biblically, fasting primarily means saying no to food, but as you study it, it's not just food. Fasting can involve saying no to things that you enjoy and things you take pleasure in. And we find this principle in 1 Corinthians 7:5. Did we freeze? There we go. Okay, we'll go to 7:5. Here we find a principle. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations. So this is a deeper principle. The husband's wife belongs to the body, or body belongs to the wife. The wife's body belongs to the husband. You're not to deprive each other. But there is a time, do not deprive each other unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourself to fasting and praying. And there's this principle that we can fast from other things beside food, things that we enjoy, things that are life-giving. And we can just, we'll bring up a list and we'll just talk through these. It could be that your fasting involves, for a time, Paul says, fasting from sexual intimacy, but then he says, make sure you don't continue that because you'll give place to the devil. And that's a whole nother study, but you could choose to separate yourself sexually. You know, just a list of things like exercise. I love exercise, and we'll keep the list up. Things like television. You say, that's where you and I are different, Rob. I do not like to exercise. Things like television, technology, or social media. Okay, we'll hit something for everybody. Coffee. Oh, it just got real. You know how you know that you love coffee? It's when about 8 o'clock at night, you're excited for your cup in the morning. Like, you know, is my water filled up? Is everything ready? So in the morning, I can get that as fast as I can get it. And you know, it's a powerful thing. We'll just bring up the last thing on the list, sugar or chocolate. Does that make it to the list? There, it made it. So it can involve these things, things that are good, things, well, chocolate. I think chocolate's good for you. Things that we enjoy, maybe in moderation or maybe things that are vital to us. But, you know, it's saying, Lord, I enjoy these things, but I want you more. I enjoy what happens when I exercise, the endorphins released and the way I feel. But, Lord, I want you more. And Susie and I turn off the television all week, all that routine of this is when we watch whatever we watch. And the whole week is just, Lord, we want you, we want to hear from you. We turn off technology, turn off all social media. I would ask you to pray about it. For me, I fast from coffee, and I love coffee. And it does feel like an alien is being pulled out of my brain that week, you know, with long tentacles, you know. But it's a week that I say, you know what, Lord, I love you more. I want you more. Every time I go to the cabinet to reach for a snack, we don't eat snacks during the week. And Lord, I want you more. I eat a little dark chocolate most days. And during the week of prayer and fasting, like, Lord, I want you more. I crave you more. And there's been a word for about 15 years. This word has been there every year, and it's the word of the dials. It's there every year that this week is a week to just try to turn down as many dials as you can because you want to hear God. Turn down the exercise dial. Turn down the social media dial. Turn down the television. Turn down the, you know, podcast. Turn it all down. What would happen if you turned all those down? Well, God would speak to you in a powerful, powerful way. And you'll have to be thinking, what's my week going to look like? And we'll talk more about those subjects in a minute. But what fasting and prayer is not, I think it's so important to say, it's not to be righteous. Right? We can get in a weird trap where I'm drinking water for 7 days. And then, you know, and then on day two, I just got to have a handful of nuts. And oh, now I feel so, oh, I've failed you, God. I'm such a miserable failure. No, we're not more righteous by fasting. And it can be a real mind trip. Like, we're not working so that God will bless us. But we are choosing to fast. And it's really forcing ourselves to become very weak quickly so God can be very strong in our lives. It's not a hunger strike. Sometimes we have to remember that. Those that will choose to fast from food, you'll find yourself like, why am I even doing this? Well, it's not a hunger strike to get your way. It's when you are hungry, all those cravings that when you're normally going out to get tacos at work, you just say, no, this half hour, I'm going to walk. And your stomach is rumbling and your soul is rumbling. God, I want you. It's prayer and fasting. It's not a diet. If you have an eating disorder, this would not be for you. You would need to say, this would not be wise for me to fast from food. You could fast other ways. It's not about health benefits. Although 36 hours of water fasting, read the medical data on it. It completely resets your body. But we choose, Lord, this week is not for all the benefits. Physically, this is a week, even though I'm body, soul, and spirit, this is that I might draw near to you. Let's ask the where question. Can you fast from home? Of course, you can fast from home. Can you fast from work? Absolutely, many of you will. Can you fast from school? Yes. Even since COVID, we've kept Zoom every morning and night, and we'll have people joining in. Missionaries will be joining in. By Zoom, you can join in. But keep in mind that this is a corporate fast. And this is one of the most powerful corporate weeks of the year here at the church. So just keep that in mind. And for some of you, the lifeline is going to be the Zoom. And there are those that can't come, and the Zoom is the right thing. But those that can come, it's so powerful. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said in the 1800s. So interesting. When I was praying about our church taking communion every week, I was reading a Charles Spurgeon sermon from the 1800s. And he says, I pity the church that only takes communion once a month. What a horrible mistake the Protestant church has made. We take communion every week at the tabernacle. And I was like reading that going, that means so much to me that's what he was hearing from God in the 1800s. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about their times of fasting as a church. Every year we read this, by the way. You're like, yeah, I recognize it. I think you've read it for 16 years, Rob. Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory of God. Wow, God has just become central in our church. His glory is in the center. The people are fasting, seeking him. Let's keep moving and ask another question. Who we've asked and where? What about when? It's interesting that Jesus said, this really pricks my heart, he said, when you fast, not if you fast. So Matthew 6, it's when you pray, not if you pray. When you give, not if you give. It's pretty interesting because in our culture, it's like, if I fast. Like, I don't fast. If I, no, it's when. You should be fasting. When you fast, don't draw attention to yourself and make yourself all sad and you're starving and you want people to see that you're fasting. And he goes on to say, when you fast in secret, when you just are doing it to be seen by the Father, he's going to reward you openly. And when humble starts, as we said, it starts next Sunday morning. And it's good to ask yourself the question, when will work for you? And this is why we choose this week, because it's a week out. It's the right time to be asking myself, what's it going to look like? What will I be part of? Will it be the mornings? Every morning at 6 a.m. We put it at 6 so that anybody working can come. When will work for you? Bring up that picture of the mornings. This is such a powerful picture. Of just so many college students. It's probably my favorite part of the week is at about 5:55 when you drive down Lester, you just see red taillight, red taillight, red taillight, red taillight. Just a whole line of so many college students just packing in to the prayer chapel every morning. And not just the students, but it's generational that we're so blessed with here at the church. When will work for me? The lunch hour is set aside for those that you could come for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20, 30, 50, a whole hour at your lunch hour. You just come for whatever you can. The evenings, I want to bring up a video that is, here's a picture of last year. year 29. This is the church. I'm going to bring up a video. This is the leaders that lead the circles every night. Every night at 6, the leaders gather to get ready for you coming. You understand it takes 180 leaders to lead all the circles. You're going, what circles? 300 to 500 people will be here praying each night. Those are just the leaders getting ready for the circles. And let's ask a different question. Instead of when, let's ask why. And this is a summary of all these verses that we've looked at. Why to ask help from God? If we were to go through all those verses, we could just from the verse draw these conclusions. Why? It's a way to humble ourselves before God. Why do we fast and pray when we don't have the direction that we need? Or we need breakthrough? Or it's a powerful weapon in the spiritual realm? Or I'm in crisis? Repentance? I need answers. It's for revival. It's for victory. It's to seek and hear God. Right? So all throughout the church, there are these different things going on. I need answers. Our marriage needs a breakthrough. Our child is in a battle. Our family's in a battle. Or all of these things that are going, we need God's help. I need God to revive me or our marriage or our family. Let's ask another question, how? And how to fast. So as we've studied this over the years, you learn that there's an absolute fast, which we read was no food or no water. So I challenge you, pray about just one of the days, if you've never done that, being 24 hours and no food, no water. And it's just a, God, I am so hungry for you. I am so thirsty for you. A normal fast is just no food. I remember one of the football players, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, got saved, was here for a month or so. He goes, I'm fasting the whole week, water. I'm like, wow, man. He did it, the whole week, water. It was ending, and he said, I'm going to have a steak right when it ends, big porterhouse steak. And I go, I don't recommend you do that, you know. But he did. He ate his full steak, and he was fine, and your youth is amazing, you know, that you can do that. But a normal fast, no food. And so you could be thinking about, what would it look like? Maybe I'll start first day, no food or water. Maybe a portion I'll do, no food. Another way you can fast is what we read, a Daniel fast, a partial fast. Bill Bright from Campus Crusade for Christ brought notoriety to a juice fast. I'll just have juice that week. Or some type of partial fast. Again, we'll bring up where that comes from. Daniel said, and you could fast this way, I ate no pleasant food, right? Because Rob Verdine, I love food. But this week could be a week that, Lord, I'm not living for food. I'm eating to live. I'm just going to put food in the most basic place because all week I'm not going to eat anything pleasant, just enough to stay alive, and no meat, no wine. I'm just going to seek you. And Daniel did that for 21 days. And I'd like you to just be considering, well, what will my fast look like? I've got a week to figure it out. It could be a combination of types of fasting, right? It could be a combination. It could be a period of time that you're going to do a water fast or no food or water, or I'm going to, you know, fast for, you know, morning and noon and eat in the evenings. It can look a whole lot of different ways, a combination of types of fasting. Again, it can involve all kinds of things. We can just bring the whole list up again that we went through earlier, if you're able to just bring that up, the whole thing. You could be thinking about what might it look like? What things could I turn down? And it's powerful how fasting really unites and binds us all together for a week. You'll be looking at what your fast is gonna look like. Here's how it unites us together. Here's what would happen. Even if you said, okay, I think I'm supposed to fast from sweets all week. Even if that's all you fast from, that's going to bind you together with all of us for 7 days. Definitely going to do no social media. That's going to bind us together. We're going to be in this together as you choose what your fast is going to look like as you're part of it. Whatever you choose for the week of prayer, it's going to bind us together. And let me just go over some last things of getting ready. If you take medications, we're going over this a week early, because you'll need to make sure to talk to your doctor. What could my fast look like with the medications I'm on? You don't want to just venture into a no food or no water if you're on medications. And again, maybe that decides it for you. You know, I can't do that type of fast. Or I'll talk to my doctor. Should kids fast is always something we bring up, and the answer is no. Kids should not be encouraged to fast. Kids need to eat. Maybe as they become teenagers and they want to fast, that's a good time to start encouraging them to be part of it in some way. Should kids see their parents fast? Yes. I think it is one of the most powerful things. Last night at the prayer meeting, one of the young girls that's grown up in this church, she was praying a prayer where she said how much it impacted her to grow up in a church. She said she, in her soul, she went, this is what church is supposed to be. This is the power of God. And who knows what God will do through all of our kids witnessing us fasting as we have an opportunity to explain to them what fasting is. Here's another one. And by the way, on Wednesday, we're going to pray for infants and all ages of youth up from infants in the middle of the circles. We'll pray for children. We'll pray for our teenagers in the centers of the circle every Wednesday we do that. Already said on Tuesday, we're over at the Toyota room at Gill. And then is it Gill? Reeser, not Gill. Sorry, I knew it came out wrong. Over at Reeser. And then if I'm not fasting, can I still come and pray? Absolutely. Your church is going into a week of prayer. Prayer and fasting. But if you choose not to fast, by all means, I would encourage you to fast something, because it'll bind you together. You'll be in this with the rest of us, and you won't forget about it. If you're not drinking coffee, you won't forget your church is praying. You'll be like counting the days down. You'll be in it with the rest of us as we press in. If you're not planning on joining us, I just ask you, would you please reconsider? And you'll have this week to reconsider. And if you're not, if you aren't able to come to much, come day 7. That will be February 1st. That'll be we're celebrating 30 years of continuous Saturday night prayer meetings. That is a grace on this church. That's not like a look what we have done. That is a grace. Every Saturday night, people are here crying out for your family, for your kids, for your marriage, for your city. That's a grace on this church. And if you could come on that night to celebrate 30 years. You know what? I have many friends that are pastors, and they get so encouraged when they hear what's going on here. And they start a prayer meeting, and most of them will say the same thing. Rob, it started with 20 people, then 14, then 6, then 3. Rob, no one will come. people won't come and pray. It is a grace on this church. It is something that God has graced us with. And I would just encourage you, too, to invite others. You know these cards? And you know how many people have never witnessed anything like this before? And how many people you're connected to that are in crisis? Their marriages aren't going to make it. Their kids aren't going to make it. They're at the end of themselves. They don't know what to do. They're in a battle. Man, that's where we just get out those gurneys and let's just bring in as many as we can. And then last of all, just the younger generation, right? There's a younger generation. I remember, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, this one kid from Corvallis came in. He stood right there by the door. He saw like 500 people in here and he goes, "Whoa, I didn't even know there were this many Christians in Corvallis." Like, he's never seen anything like this. And I just urge you, anyone, for 30 years we've been praying for the younger generation, anyone you can beg, coerce, bribe to get them here, get them here. Draw, you know, let God use you to urge them to come. And we're gonna stop there. This goes home with you. And that'll just allow you, okay, everything I heard, what? Do I want to go back over it? Do I want to look at those verses? Do I want to write on it? Do I want to? I would encourage you to use this week to pray. And you know, too, I would just, especially those that if you come to the conclusion, yeah, I'm not, I don't, that's just way too much for me. I don't want to come. Come the first night. Just come Sunday night next week. Just come the first night and just open yourself up bare and say, "Lord, what do you have for me?" And then I think also as the week comes, whatever you have decided, hold that lightly too. God can change it. God can show you that, you know what, you've not still heard what I'm trying to tell you. And take that card with you. Put it at your workplace. Put it where others can see it. Hand it to someone. Have it in your car to give to someone and take it with you. And then we're going to stop here and pray this morning. Why don't we stand up? We'll have the worship team come back up. And why don't we just take a minute again. As we started, we just stood in a posture of prayer. Let's just stand before the Lord. And you know, maybe that you're someone and you're not yet saved. And salvation is a free gift. It's the gift of God. And you can reach out and take it today. Righteousness, Christ's righteousness can be put in your account if you'll turn from your sin and you'll turn to Jesus. He died to pay all your sins. And this can be a morning that simple truth saves you. And something's already happening. The Spirit's already moving on you. You're not yet right with God, and you want to be right with God, and God has drawn you here. And it's a morning for you to say, "Lord, I repent." You can do that right now. "I repent of my sin, and Jesus, I'm turning to you to forgive me and cleanse me." You could pray that. You know you need forgiveness. You know you need cleansing. What you don't know is how powerful God wants to work in your life. And that he's got a purpose for you and a call for you to use you. But it all starts with you being willing to humble yourself. And if this is a saving morning for you, up here on the board behind me, it says humble. Just you could pray that, "Lord, I humble myself before you. I'm turning from my sin. Cleanse me and forgive me." And that could be saving for you. He'll change your life this morning. We're going to take communion at this time. And Issa's going to lead us. And we're going to come up, take the bread and the cup back to our seat. And whenever you're ready, you can partake. If you want to pray with someone that you came with before you partake, you can do that. If you want to just partake on your own, you can do that. But whenever you're ready, these last 10 minutes, you can partake. Let's do that now. Let's come up, take the bread and the cup. They're stacked on top of each other, the bread and the cup. And then there's gluten-free bread in the middle if you need that. And whenever you're ready, and if you're someone that you were praying for salvation today, by all means, come take the bread and the cup. The cup speaks of Jesus' blood cleansing us from all our sin. The bread speaks of how Jesus died on the cross for you. And you could take that and you could say yes to Jesus. You could surrender your life to Him. You could receive the gift of eternal life. We'll just keep coming until all that have the bread and the cup have it. But we're going to just close our service with our eyes on the Lord. We're going into a powerful, powerful week, but we're not going to wait for that week to put our eyes on God. Isa, lead us.